got quite a long agenda. It looks like we've got enough council members to establish a quorum. If we could get seated, I appreciate it very much. Yeah, until I'm not home, I didn't hear a lot of mouth coming back. Okay, we'll call this January 22nd, 2013 meeting of the Finance Committee to order. President is President Bullock. Council persons Kilpatrick, Bell, Weiner, Cartier, Diller, Retta. Councilman Smiley, I'm co-chairing as usual. Tara Finney is taking the minutes, but you all may have the pleasure of foying. Is there a motion on the minutes?
So moved. Second.
So there's a motion, there's a second. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, Councilman Hollins has now joined us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, those not voting, minutes are hereby declared approved. I have nothing on the consent calendar. First on other resolutions, R13-028, authorizing the execution of three purchase order contracts totaling $393,431. Councilman Cartier will be floor managing this resolution.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under this resolution 13-028, we have three contracts totaling the amount that you put on the record. And just for the record as well, one is a priority dispatch corporation contract to go to the emergency police dispatch. One is for the YWCA, and another is to a community nonprofit connections that will basically provide rapid rehousing. And with that, I'd like to throw out a lifeline to our folks in the police to or finance to give further detail about the Priority Dispatch Corporation PO. Does anybody want to talk about that?
Sure. Yes, Mr. Councilman, on behalf of Newcastle County, Jeff Miller, Acting Chief of Communications. The $288,000 will allow us to complete a three-part process of call processing for 911. Currently today, if you call 911 and you have a medical emergency or a fire or a rescue type emergency, we use a protocol standard nationally recognized to process your telephone call. We do not do that with police incidents. This will allow us to use a nationally recognized system to start a question and answering system based on the what the caller is telling us. We will then be able to provide a better response on the police side. So this basically is just the third part of a three-part process where we already have two of the steps in place.
Okay. Councilman Cartier.
And I guess for the record as well, this is a sole source type of contract with, you know, this one vendor has this type of product that we need. So.
Yes, they are, because it's a computer-based software, they are the only entity that has this system in place. And because we have so much heavily invested in the last 10 years in EMD and EFD, it's in the county's best interest with our current CAD system to move forward with the EPD product.
And on the record, Councilman Tackett has now joined us. Okay. Any questions from any other members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as a point of comment here for the record that our 911 Emergency Communications Center and Public Safety Department was actually one of the first, if not the first, in the state of Delaware to go to the priority medical dispatch and the fire medical fire dispatch. The standard protocols and standard formats for reviewing calls and determining what resources are needed to send. It's only a natural and logical move as part of our accreditation process and as part of having the center as one to have our police communications have a standard set of dispatch protocols. And what you'll find with priority dispatch systems, and the acting chief has actually participated in teaching others in our country, has actually traveled and educated others in the priority dispatch areas, is that it helps to not only train, but it helps to protect us from liability, and it's more in a standard form nationwide and everything. So I just I applaud the department, and in particular the 911 Communications Center staff and personnel on their commitment to continue this until the whole process is completed. And once this is done, our 911 center will have a standard dispatch protocol and everything for all facets of public safety communications. So.
Thank you. And on the record, Councilman Street has now joined us. Any other questions on any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to R13-029, resolution approving reissuance of certain bonds or notes by the Claymont Fire Company number one. Councilman Cartier.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Just, I don't know if we wanted to go to the other two items under R13-01.
Well, that's your choice. It's all one vote, but it's up to you.
I'd just like to review the other two items under that purchase order resolution. The rapid rehousing ESG funds going to the Delaware YWCA. I don't know if someone from Community Services would like to talk a little bit about that. Is that a state state grant funds or
federal funds? Alan Mattis from Community Services. These are two RFPs that went out, two entities for sale to provide housing opportunities for homeless individuals. And it's we were funded by HUD to pass through us into these agencies to provide rapid rehousing for homeless individuals. We anticipate that there will be approximately 14 individuals per entity that we'll be able to house up to a 24-month period, get them into housing. It's somewhat flexible in that we can pay for rental assistance, case management, things like that. It's more than just a roof on your head, but providing services. Both organizations are very adept at doing this. They're probably good entities to get out there and address this situation.
Yeah, while I have you up there, just to go to connections, there's the other PO that has the same amount
right
under that.
Both organizations have been in the community for some time providing these services, and they're available to help us use our funding to get the services onto the street to the individuals in need.
And just for the record, the ESG Emergency Solutions
Grant
is a HUD fund out of Housing and Urban Development?
Yes. And also with us is the Delaware State Housing Authority and the City of Wilmington. They're also participating in this program, providing money to these organizations.
All right, thank you. Unless any other members of council have questions.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Alan, in the past, we've had four agencies recipients of the emergency shelters, emergency solutions grants, and historically we've divided them among all of those applicants because we only get a few, and I noticed there's two here today. Did
right.
we only get two, or we just eliminated two?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Karen Casey with the Department of Community Services. In February of 2012, HUD released new guidelines for the emergency shelter grants. They actually renamed it to the Emergency Solutions Grant. Now we get about $180,000, or the first $100,000 can go to shelter operations. We've already done that. We fund the six shelters that you all approved in April. We got an extra $80,000, but HUD wanted us to submit a plan on how we were going to spend those funds, and we could not do shelter operations. They had these new guidelines. They really encouraged homeless prevention and rapid rehousing. So that's when HUD approved our plan in August. We submitted it in May, and so this is above what we already do for shelter operations. We will continue to do shelter operations, but HUD is now giving us additional funds. And in working with the state, and as Alan said, the City of Wilmington, we've tried to make the same guidelines and the same types of programs, so we're able to streamline and really try to help as many people as we possibly can statewide. But these funds will go beyond just shelter operations. We will that's the base, and this was the extra money that we received from HUD.
So the other agencies that were participating the emergency shelter grants were not eligible for this?
Unfortunately, HUD made a regulation that if you know that baseline amount that we always fund, which is $100,000, we could not spend a penny over that amount annually. So they're now giving us more money annually. They're not giving us about $180,000. So we can only spend $100,000 on shelter operations. We can continue to fund those agencies, but the additional funds must be used for homeless assistance, or they call this buzzword rapid rehousing, which is moving someone who is literally homeless on the street or in a park or in an emergency shelter into housing, permanent housing. That's where the subsidy and the utility assistance and everything that Alan spoke of. So HUD's put some regulations on it. We submitted the plan and they said yes, but you aren't able to spend more than what you've already spent on shelter operations for new, for with this new money.
All right, okay.
Councilman Sheldon has joined us. Councilman Street.
To follow through on Councilman Howell's question, why limited the new funding to these two as opposed to the other five?
Well, we had a public RFP, and we had a public meeting in August. We invited anyone that was interested in providing these types of services that was an eligible nonprofit to apply. We funded three, and six actually submitted RFPs. So it was open to any agency that would want to provide this type of assistance. So they could have applied for those funds, and I'm not sure if the ones that we funded in the past, I can look into that, for shelter operations actually applied. So it was open to any eligible nonprofit that could provide the specific type of service that we were looking for.
Okay, two were funded. How many applied?
There was a third funded as well, but it only received $10,000. So it was the Family Promise of Northern Delaware. So three were funded and six applied. And a committee is made up that reviews the applications and recommends the funding levels.
And the committee consists of?
We actually, per HUD, we were required to have a representative from the other jurisdictions that receive ESG funds, the Homeless Planning Council, and then we had a community volunteer and a fiscal rep and a few other folks from the department.
Okay. With this federal funding and the grants, I go back to what we said about CDBG, and heretofore we've acted in accordance with the recommendation that's come forward from the department. And the view was, and I think the sentiment of council, I felt, nobody knows exactly how council as a whole feels, was that we shouldn't tamper with that because we didn't want to politicize it as council members. I have a concern that to the extent that we're not politicizing it, other folks may be, especially as we're looking at participating with other jurisdictions. And I think it's something we as a council need to look at. Quite frankly, if the department in conjunction with other jurisdictions are going to politicize it, then if it's going to be politicized, then I think we should do it.
Any other comments? Councilman Tack.
Mr. Chairman, is it potentially possible to get some, I know things change, different grants come in, different programs change, requirements, eligibilities, and the way they're administered, but is there any way to get like something out of your department which basically tells us exactly what all we have? I did have somebody in the past that was on the street, you know, when I contacted, you know, our department. We couldn't do anything for them, but I assume that's probably because we didn't have this program in. We just suggested some other agencies, and about all we could do. So
we have been chatted about actually setting up a liaison with someone, and we can contact the wire connections,
right,
and get them. And this is a conversation we had with. We don't have to. The conversation was, it's more than putting a roof on somebody's head. We're talking additional services to individuals because of various situations, mental illness, addictions, things of that nature that need to be handled at a professional level. Yes, it's a long way of saying I've already started. If someone walks in the door, we have someone to get them to where they need to be immediately, as opposed to just handing them and listen to them and call somebody.
Right. Okay.
We'll go by age, youngest first. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. Thank you. Typically, to Councilman Tackett's point, normally what happens if someone were to contact us, or the county for that matter, we actually contract with other agencies. So
wherein we don't provide the service per se, but the fact that we do contract with numerous agencies in the community that deal with these kinds of situations, then I think the best thing to do would be acting as a referral to some of the agencies that we fund, which are always listed, the agencies that we fund, but there are others as well. Everyone don't depend on Newcastle County. Those agencies that we do fund, we're not the only entity that's supporting those agencies, but I think they do respond if they hear from the county that we have a family or person in need, that they would give some deference to it. It's been my experience.
Well, I think what happened with my case was they had told them just call 411. The
you
state.
Can do that too.
Right.
Councilman Street.
I guess I'll never be known for mentioning words, so there's no need of me mentioning words today. I'm concerned the agencies that have effectively provided these kinds of services for 100 years, 25 years, scandal-free, not here. And agencies that have less experience that are not scandal-free, all of a sudden, now they're appearing. And, if I'm just not going to sit here and not say anything, and agencies just take on the process of locking up this money, not only from here, but from other jurisdictions, I'm just not going to be silent about it.
Councilman Cartier.
Pass.
Okay. Councilman Street, you have a comment
on
the pass?
I hate to be a pain, but
we got
homeless linked to police dispatch. I don't know why they're all the same on this one purchase order. And I, quite frankly, given what I'm feeling right now, I want to support what Councilman Bell talked about, but I can't support this with this all linked together like this. And A has nothing to do with B.
Well, I know historically they've come over as a pack, but Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, they're each separate purchase orders. Are they different purchase orders?
And Mel, what do you provide? They're three separate purchase orders, but all one resolution. Right.
Okay, so the resolution is actually a cumulative of the total for the three purchase orders, but each are treated individually.
I don't think you can vote on them individually. They're all in one resolution. And the reason why they're all here is because of their $50,000 criteria. That's why they all
brought
this one resolution.
Well, I guess what we learned from this is that you can have a question or concern and comment from council, and the will of council to maybe table or not move forward on one, but yet they're all wrapped up in one resolution.
And we, if I may, as chair, we have discussed this before, where we can request each purchase order be under a different resolution number, discuss each one individually. But I have no problem chairing over a 3-hour finance meeting. I'm just saying, I'm not being facetious, but that's the other option of doing it, is having them each have a separate resolution number.
Yeah, and looking from the finance office, and I'm looking at Andrea Smith shaking her head. That's council wishes. We'd be happy to do that, to have each purchase order as a separate resolution in the future. That's no problem doing that.
Other than time. Okay, Councilman Street, and President Bullock, and Councilman Cartier.
Well, I'm not interested in having a 3-hour finance committee meeting, but it would just seem to me that there should be some semblance of continuity between the items on the purchase order, be it department, be a purpose, as opposed to coming out of two separate departments for two completely different things. To me, that it's not good common sense, and I don't think it's a good
point. Councilman Street, I'm going to interject myself in front of Councilman Cardi as a chair and say, I've made that issue before. I mean, I shake my head every time I read about a bill in Washington where we're going to help. They're fighting over helping people who've been affected by Hurricane Sandy. At the same time, somebody's got money in there for a new ball field somewhere. The two aren't related. And
same
I agree
church,
with you.
Different pew.
Right. It should be, they should be focused, a piece of legislation should be focused on that which it's directly involved in. So maybe we can just take a greater look at that in the future without breaking them all out individually. Fair enough?
Yes, sir, as long as...
Councilman Cartier.
Just very briefly, I want to second Councilman Street's thinking and, you know, offer my support about that notion. These purchase orders should be grouped by departments so that council has the ability to deliberate on the merits of it in a real sense under separate resolutions.
And Councilman, I want to thank you for wanting to handle this one. Okay. Is there anything else on R13-028? Okay, we're going to try this again. R13-029, resolution approving reissuance of certain bonds or notes by the Claymont Fire Company. Number one, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Claymont Fire Company is in the 8th District. In fact, they're going to have their 85th anniversary dinner, this month. But this resolution, 13-029, in the body of the resolution, proposes a refinancing of $5.3 million of bonds that the fire company will undertake. And for capital projects that they have undertaken, which have been huge over the last 3 or 4 years, they put a whole new front on the fire company along the Philadelphia Pike. In fact, I would say they were the first ones to make a major building improvement under the guise of the Claymont Renaissance. Very proud of that fact. And I think they're refinancing a good bit of this construction cost. As we know, bond market rates are extremely low, and they're using our bonding rating to go out and get the best rates that they can. And with that, I'll close my remarks. I don't know if the CFO would like to add any further comments.
Well, I do. Just to clarify for anyone in the room that may not be aware, when we do these, fiscal notes are very important. The bonds or notes of the company will be the debt of the company and not of the county. County's approval of the reissuance by the company of bonds or notes of the company will have no fiscal impact on the county.
But good point.
Sometimes people aren't aware of that, but that is always very clear with that. Mr. Cooper.
Mike could find us. I was just going to say anything else we have. We have our bond counsel here, Emily Nine, who could answer any questions regarding the bond.
Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought that we actually earned 0.5% of the finance.
You
still?
Yeah, we do.
Mike Coop, yes, on the original issue, we do earn 1.5%.
No.
This year's just the refinance.
We just like the house, we don't get money on a refi. We got.
Well, we
that.
Don't. Okay, you answered my question.
Yeah,
we do not get.
No, Maryland does. We don't. Okay.
Just a technical question.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. I guess we would call this conduit. A conduit bond, is that the correct technical term for this?
Hi, Emily Ninen. I'm a partner at Ballard's Farm, serving as bond counsel. Actually, these fire company bonds are a little bit different than okay. The conduit bonds you do for other nonprofits. In this case, there's a special rule under the federal tax code which allows the fire company to actually issue the bonds themselves. So you're serving to have the public hearing,
mm-hmm.
And they do need your approval today.
Okay.
But it's a little bit different than if you did it for another nonprofit where they would actually be Newcastle County bonds. In this case, mm-hmm. The bond would be a Claymont themselves.
Mm-hmm. But they do utilize our bond ratings?
They actually, yeah. No. It's
they
based
do
on
not.
Their own. No, they don't get the
okay.
Benefit of the bond rating. So it's based on their credits.
Okay. I stand corrected.
We live and learn. I tell my grandson, keep your eyes, ears open, you learn something new every day. Some of it you don't like, but there's always that chance there'll be something good. Thank you very much for coming. Okay, any further questions from members of council on 13029? Anything from the public?
They're taking advantage of that.
Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to R13-30. Authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract totaling $36,319. One purchase order to JWC Environmental. It's for a commutator replacement cartridge for the Airport Road pump station
which was damaged during Hurricane Sandy. I apologize. I tried to print out the six-page online information I found. I couldn't get it all to print. Bottom line is this. It's the filter for the large part of the unit that reduces the particle size of wastewater solids. I'm sure that's what everybody wanted to know. Yeah. Any questions from any member? Basically, it makes your crap smaller. Oh. Councilman Bell, on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if we could ask Dave Carpenter, our emergency management coordinator, would any of this fall under federal disaster declaration and being able to be reimbursed by the federal government?
Dave Carpenter, Junior Coordinator, Emergency Management, and the answer to the question is yes. It's being submitted to FEMA through the FEMA reimbursement. We're actually Department of Special Services, Fiscal, and myself, and Chief Financial Officer Mike Cooper working together for Public Safety and Special Services, and a small section of land use, the contingency that we used during the storm to put that reimbursement together with FEMA. We actually are going to probably meet with them towards the end of this month to start finalizing some of those details. But that is one of the major products and purchases that we had that is
Bill's a good guy, man.
But we need to move forward rather than wait for that
great
rather efficient process for FEMA to work out.
Great job.
Reimbursement, anyway.
Any other questions for any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to what everybody's here for. Ordinance 13-001 to amend the compensation for employees of County Council by rescinding the health care surcharge. This ordinance would remove the 2.5% health care surcharge for unclassified employees of County Council. Fiscal impact of this legislation would be an additional health care expense to the county of $12,966.59 for the period January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2013. I don't know that there's a whole lot more I can say once you heard the title and read what I think was positive exchange of emails, but I do want to go on record with a few things because the overwhelming, I don't want to say overwhelming, but the volume of emails was about six that found their way to me. I got one one-on-one phone call for discussion. And what it had to do with basically was, why them and not us? That's really what it boiled down to. All the concerns boiled down to why them and not us. Well, just want to go on record with a couple of things. On May 8, 2007, substitute number one, ordinance number 07-065, to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union unclassified employees of County Council. Synopsis: this ordinance enacts new pay plans for non-union unclassified employees of County Council that implement new pay grade increments. Employees will continue to receive pay grade increments. And what this did was, this new pay plan represented pay increments over 19 years instead of the 10. Council and the executive side were the only ones that made that change. But again, County Council. June 9th, 2009, substitute one to ordinance 09-046 to amend the pay plans and rates of pay for employees of County Council. This ordinance puts into effect a 5% across the board wage rollback for fiscal year 2010. And simultaneously restores the pay plan based on 10 in-grade pay increments. So, council for council staff implemented the 5% across the board wage decrease and put it back to 10 steps. On July 12, 2011, ordinance 11-082 to amend compensation for employees of County Council by imposing the health care surcharge. The point I tried to make as I've tried to make in the emails, is county council acts within the confines of what we are allowed to do. We address ordinances pertaining to other county employees when they're sent over to us. I've never seen one drafted here to affect others. There are multi-collective bargaining agreements out there. We do not have the authority. We don't get involved in the negotiations, even the county executive, to across the board amend those plans would be a violation. They have to work it. We don't have the authority, as I've explained, to do what they want us to do. Now, I've been told I'm committing political suicide by bringing this forward. Hell, if that's the hardest thing I do and the toughest thing that happens to me in the next 4 years, I've been blessed. So, number one, as you all know, I don't yield to threats, and I'm not going to start now. In addition, I want to prolong it. Some of my comments attempts have been made to take them out of context. I don't have an issue with the FOP. I don't have an issue with the Public Safety Department. I think my record will show that. What I have an issue with is when people send me email communications expressing outrage that this council intends to do something, Councilman Weiner is now present, that I'm bringing forward something for this council to address pertaining to the staff of this council. So for 16 or 17 people, someone is outraged. But I haven't heard a word from them while the FOP, following their legal rights under collective bargaining, and I will put my record in collective bargaining against any of them on the other side, because I've used it. That's what it's there for. That's a process you're entitled to, and I've never questioned that. But I never heard from anyone during this period of time. I never got an email from anyone in county government chastising us for doubling the step increases for council staff when theirs weren't doubled. My point being, what's fair is fair, what's not, is not. We have a right to do certain things. We have a right to address 13001. We don't have a right to independently address their 2.5% or less. Most are not. They are in total, it's a 2.5%. But our staff is the only one that's actually doing 2.5% out of the check. Bottom line is, that's the proposal. For me to place in the hearing an amendment or a substitute that lifts the health care surcharge for the rest of the county employees would be totally unenforceable, improper, and illegal. We can't do it. This is our staff. That's what we have to address. And as I said, if a responsible ordinance comes over addressing the concerns of those that had emailed me, I'll be happy to support it. I'll be happy to take a look at it. But here, now, today, it's the people that I look at every day. It's the people that work for this council. It's as simple as that. So, are there any questions, any comments from any members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Each of us, I think, on council, 13 strong, certainly, you know, have the right to bring forward various legislation and ask for consideration of this council to either pass it or not to pass it. And I think that we all respect that fact. I can personally say that I have the greatest respect for all of our staff personnel, our legislative aides, folks that have been here in administrative positions in council for years, doing a fantastic job. I would love to see them be able to get their 2.5% back. But I can't agree with the way we're going about it. As one council person, we all, I believe, received a letter from the leadership of AFSCME. I have personally had contact with some of the various locals' leadership, as well as their FOP. And I think that when we look at sacrifice for the economy and working together as a county and as a team, we all have given back and have accepted the challenge of trying to make things work so that we would not have folks laid off, lose jobs, lose total incomes. But I think with those sacrifices have been made across the board by not just county council, but by all employees of Newcastle County, including our FOP. And some have done them maybe in different ways by the nature of their activity, their shift, their benefits, you know, being on call, court time, various things. But the end result was that when it was all said and done, that all employees of Newcastle County ended up in some form participating in giving back and to try to help the fiscal impact of the county. So I have to respect the fact that, you know, we're elected officials to represent the good of all in our county. Our employees are the core, the vital link that provides county services day in and day out, as our legislative aides and our council staff do a tremendous job in the legislative branch. But I am not in a position to support this ordinance at this time because I think that there should be more of an equal balance to this. We're coming up on our budget hearings. Our administration will be presenting a budget. I don't know what the dates are of each one of the collective bargaining units renegotiating. So I think that to do this just in council, personally, I think it sets a bad precedent for all of our county workforce. And with that being said, you know, many of the employees not only work, but also live in many of our districts. And so I've been personally contacted. Me bumping the folks day in and day out, whether it's a supermarket, the mall, receive an email, receive a phone call, see them at a particular function. And I think the only thing our employees are asking, all employees, is whatever you do in representing us as a government, try to represent us as fair and equitable as possible. And so that's where I'm coming from. I have no disrespect whatsoever for, you know, not only your right, but your commitment to try and do this for council employees, but I won't be able to support it.
That's Councilman Bell, we don't have the jurisdiction to do it for all of them. In a nutshell, you can want all you want, right? We don't have the jurisdiction. And with all due respect, I have a proposal on the table right now. We will take it up a little later in this meeting, along with an amended one, where I proposed at the last meeting that I'm willing to put up funding that offsets over 50% of the cost of this. Right? Over 50% of the cost of it. I have you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Let me finish. Over 50% of the cost of it. Also, to correct the record, not everyone in Newcastle County is participating in this. The collective bargaining agreements did what they did. Outside of those, only those county employees who participate in the health care plan were required to contribute to 2.5% because the county actually saved more money than 2.5% if others did not. Okay, so that's to clear that.
And just if I may, Mr. Chairman, just not really a rebuttal, but just to clarify, I'm well aware that this council doesn't have the authority to interfere or to negotiate the collecting bargaining agreements. We do have a final vote when they're recommended. But I think in the best interest of all of the employees of Newcastle County, that as a legislative body, that we have to be sensitive to the needs of all of our employees. And, you know, that's just where I'm coming from, where I stand. I think it's very noble to want to try to give back something for those that have given to help make this government continue to run. But we have a budget cycle. July 1 is the new budget. And I think that all of this could be discussed both with the administration and council in our budget deliberations and come up with a path forward that's agreeable and fair and equitable to everybody as part of the budget process.
Yes, ma'am. And June 30th, it's not an issue because it expires. It automatically expires. It's beyond discussion.
Then why do it now?
Because it's 6 months savings, not savings, 6 months restoration of funds to our employees. That's not to say the county executive can't bring something forward that retroactively reinstates 6 months to them. The irony of this is, and I guess where I've remained confused for 8 years. One time council wants a lead, next time we want to follow. One time we want to lead, next time. I guess it depends on who's pushing. If the county employees, if the larger group of county employees are pushing, then council members want to follow. But if it's only our people here pushing, then council wants a lead. And I take that over doubling the steps. Our staff did not want doubling the steps. I didn't support doubling the steps, but we did it because on that day, we were going to lead. And we led our employees to doubled steps for 1 year, and they were the only ones that had it. Yeah. So,
in deference, I would just say this, that if we want to be true leaders, I think that we represent the good of all employees in Newcastle County and try to take a look at the upcoming budget. And July 1 is as a budget year. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, I just sat in a meeting where the county executive told a group of people, and I'm not saying I deny that I will deny anything that comes forward. I'm not saying I'd vote against it. But told them, anything you want, put it to paper, you'll get it. Okay? Anything they want, put it to paper, they'll get it. So we'll see where we find the money there. Again, over 50% of the funds can be committed, and hopefully that will grow. I apologize for the delay. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Just a couple of things. Is it possible to discuss your other ordinance or resolution or whatever it is along with this one? Because I think that
there's a motion to go out of order that's approved, I'd be more than happy to. It's a grant. It has to do with grants.
Okay, then I move that we discuss the grant that is a sister grant to this ordinance along with this ordinance, as I feel that that's my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. So do you want to go?
And I know some people aren't happy with this. Bottom line is that we just spent all this time on the past couple. I don't think it's unfair to spend some time on our staff. I currently have a motion. It's not a resolution, it's not an ordinance, it's a motion on the table. Under grants, I have modified that. This is the new one that I put before you. I'll read it as it goes around. And basically it's this. I'm asking council to approve the following. I make a motion that council approve a suspension of the guidelines for the spending of council member grant / office account funds for the sole purpose of allowing council members the option of transferring funds from their designated grant / office expense account to the employee benefit budgetary line in council's budget during FY 2013. I was approached by some that didn't like the idea that the last motion was tied to a specific ordinance. And I was approached by some who wanted to have the flexibility to contribute themselves. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Going between this resolution and the ordinance, at this point, and I think I've said this in at least two meetings prior to this, is that I'm not sure that this is the time to be addressing this, that I would prefer to wait until we get into the budget cycle and do it all for fiscal year 14. But as these are going to be voted on separately, my concern is that if 001 would pass, in order not to place more of a burden on the budget what's going back into the general fund, whatever we have in place for for fiscal year 13. What I'm going to propose is that from my grant / legislative office that I be allowed to give $1,177.13, which would cover the rest of fiscal year 13 for my aid, as well as 1/13 of the non-aid's salary.
And I would say to you, Councilman Kilpatrick, if this motion passes, there's no specific dollar value assigned to anyone. So nothing would stop you from doing that.
Okay.
I will say this. If this passes, if this motion is approved, and Ordinance 13-001 fails this evening, I don't think anyone's going to make a contribution.
No, I understand
to this
that.
Account.
I understand that.
This would allow you to do that if you so chose.
This would allow me to do that under this motion.
Right.
So that if 001 passes,
you could do that.
I'm covered. And that's what my concern is. That's why I wanted to discuss the motion along with the ordinance. However, I at this point am feeling that I don't want to spend this money just because somebody else spends money. I don't necessarily care what the county executive promised any other organization. I only care about the bottom line of this budget in this economy.
And I was asked, I'm not going to give all the detailed information. I don't believe, you know, all of the, you know, sometimes we forget that, though we each have an individual aid, and we've had this discussion before too, they're still all employees of the council as a whole, and everyone should be treated as such. But I will say that I was asked to break some numbers down, and basically for the next 12-month cost, the amount of the funds for the aids, legislative aids, is $7,237.36, and the balance is for the general staff of $5,729.23. So that's just a brief breakdown, because some people say, well, you know, I don't contribute for my aid, but we have outside staff. And I remain committed to, though it's not part of this motion, I remain committed to contributing what I said I would contribute earlier. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
And that was part of my point, that if we break that number down and divide it by 13, my 1/13 of that would be $410, essentially.
And that's fine. If it should pass, any council member that wants the number, I'll be happy to give them their individual numbers, preferably by phone. I choose not to put it in email so as to not make the aides feel uncomfortable or any other staff member. Councilman Hollins.
You can put them on an email, but I'm trying to understand this. Councilwoman Kilpatrick's proposal is that she has money left in her grants / office account that you would use to
offset.
Compensate
right.
your aid.
Right.
Only your aid.
Plus 1/13 of the non-aids.
Right. Then those council members who don't have that amount of money in the grant / office account, what happened to their aids?
Well.
Or what happens to the rest of the staff that are not aides?
Okay. Let me state again, if I may, since we're discussing this. Number one, the other motion that I have on the table is not going anywhere. I'm not going to address it. But I'm going to
what
say...
What you passed around, you're not...
No. The one from the last 2 weeks ago that I had on the table.
This replaces that.
This replaces
right,
that.
Right.
I would tell you this. I remain committed to doing the same contribution that I offered before,
right.
which is $6,500. Which is more than 50% of the cost. So those council members who may not have funds left or have commitments to travel to where we need it, I think that will more than offset that. We may not reach the 100% if 13001 passes and there aren't enough contributions back, let's say, from council members. I'll be happy to let everyone know, here's what was contributed back, not by who, here's a balance. Maybe then someone wants to come forward and say, okay, I would make a motion that we have, we think we can make it through the end of this fiscal year without this. Let's say we're 2,000 short. I think we can take this from pieces of council's budget, come up with the other 2,000 and transfer it to that line in order to not have an adverse impact on the budget at all.
Right, I understand that. I understand the motion from last time. I assume this was just a rewrite to some extent.
Removing things that people had asked, exactly.
But when you consider the motion from Councilwoman Kilpatrick, it's not consistent with what you're trying to achieve here. It's completely different.
I'm taking her, I'm not taking that as a motion. It's more of a statement of her intent.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this
not a motion.
Motion.
It's more a statement of her intent.
All right.
If this passes, she doesn't need approval. She can give $5. She could do $5,000. She could do whatever.
No, but I don't think so. She can't take her grant money and just give it to her aide.
It's not going to her aide.
Oh, she could take her grant money and office money and do what with it?
Into this account. Exactly what that motion is.
Oh, if this motion passes.
Yes, if that motion passes.
And then it would defeat your purpose because it wouldn't be going directly to your aide. It would go to...
And she understands that.
But
okay.
All right. Can I say?
Yes.
But
because you can't direct it. You're correct.
Even though I can't direct it, I know that that is what my office would be costing.
Right.
So I can say, as he said, he would put in a $6,500 or whatever it was to offset.
Right.
I'm saying I will put in a basically $1,200 to offset that because I feel that would be my responsibility. And I wanted to discuss the motion simultaneously with the ordinance because I felt that they went hand in hand. I'm not saying that I'm going to vote for 001, but if it does pass, then I want to make sure that I have the ability to cover my fair share.
Sure, I think that's the point I made at the last meeting.
Yeah.
That we discussed these two things at the same time. Yeah, I have no issue with that. I just want to make certain that it's an equitable resolution or solution if we come up with one.
But I'm not making a commitment for anybody else. I'm only saying that I want to know that I've covered myself if 001 passes.
And
right, but if you put your money in a pot, it's not going to be directed to any specific aid. It goes to, it's just a
right,
part
of
the pot.
I understand that. But that's what my office would have been costing this process.
And at the end of the day, I've been public about my plans. So, Councilman Patrick, I just want to say at the end of the day, I don't think it's any council member's business what another council member does. If it passes, the changes, the transfers go through Mr. Boyle. So if it does pass, if this motion passes and then the ordinance passes, I would suggest any council member who's interested in doing so has to ask Mr. Boyle, what's the balance before we reach the fiscal note? Because I don't think anybody wants to go over the fiscal note. It's as simple as that. Councilman Wyatt.
Yes. I'd like to go on record that I'm going to be supporting 001 tonight. However, I don't feel just
well, we got two votes.
I don't feel that I can vote one way or the other on this simply because I wasn't here last time, so I didn't see the previous iteration of it, and I just feel I would need more time to vote on it before
I will tell you
this.
The previous iteration was granting me sole authority to contribute $6,500 if the ordinance passed.
Okay.
That's the only difference. So now it's not tied to that ordinance specifically, and it's not tied to Councilman Smiley. It was a it was a specific request relative to me only.
Okay.
It's the only difference.
I'm just speaking for me, I'm going to go non-voting on this, but I just for the record, I am supporting your ordinance tonight.
Well, if this doesn't pass, that's going to be totally irrelevant. But I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since it's in front of us, let's try to resolve this. Are there any other questions on the motion before you, which is the council approve a suspension of the guidelines for the spending of council member grant / office account funds for the sole purpose of allowing council members the option of transferring funds from their designated grant / office expense account to the employee benefit budgetary line item in council's budget FY 2013. Are there any further questions on that? Councilman Bell.
Mr. Chairman, you know, in all due respect and deference to what you know what's being presented here, is that, you know, we worked hard to craft our budgets, we work hard to craft our grants. We have given up funding and our grant funding, as well as employees have given up and given back part of their salaries. And when questioned about why this council would need to have grant money or to try to increase grant money, I think that the answer is very clear and has been very clear that under the current economic times that we have numerous youth and community type services that are out there, soup kitchens, food closets, that do not have the necessary funding to continue to provide to the very folks that are losing their jobs and in some cases losing their homes and families. And to me, it just seems like here we are on January the 22nd with a budget process before us here within this next couple months, a budget address, and a vote of this council in the next quarter for July 1's budget. And here we are trying to, like a Ouija board, trying to change everything around as to where you can use your money and how you can use it, where you can put it, who benefits from it, and who doesn't benefit from it. I take exception to this. I think that what we do with grant money is very logical and specific to what the need and the cause is, and to try to now take it where everybody has an option to take particular parts of money from the budget and put it different line items to benefit different type ideals or ideas, I think we're fundamentally wrong.
Except that we did it last year for the camp program, we did it last year for the children's programs through the county,
and
we did it a while ago when I asked to suspend the rules and gave $2,500 to the Newcastle County Police Department to purchase signs to go that can go into everyone's district. Bottom line is, I'm not going to apologize. I understand your concerns, and quite honestly, I think it's not a raise. I think restoring the 2.5% to our staff is just as worthy a cause as some of the ones that the grant money has gone forward to. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
And we just raised our own grant level. We combined the two accounts so that you had discretionary.
Yes. Okay. In order, as I said, we had a long meeting. I didn't mean to take it up, but I had a feeling it would. So, with that, I would make a motion that the motion before us be approved. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed? Oh, aye. Opposed?
I thought it would
be. Okay. Motion dies. Now, for any further questions on 13001, Councilman Street.
Jim, I just want to say for the record, it's been a half hour, whatever, giving all the salaries in the room, whatever that comes out to financially. Talking about $12,000, and if you have your way, $7,000. And we didn't have any substantive discussion when I questioned the person who did the outside audit as to whether or not there was any audit in public safety over $7 million. That wasn't worthy of discussion. And in terms of sacrifice, we did leave. And I said it gave away too much from the beginning. No other legislative body just gives away everything. We did away with the grant money, we did away with the bandwagon, everything that we did for people and the provisions of services, and then all of us participated in the give back, and we overdid with staff. So, you know, we can have another $100,000 discussion about it. To me, I don't know how we have a half hour discussion about $7,000 and don't have a discussion about $87,000,000. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Councilman Street.
And one more thing.
Yep.
Talk about the budget this and the budget that, and I said it last year and I'll say it again. 8 years. 8 years I sat here we never changed one penny or one line item in the budget. Never.
Well, for the record, I would just say, for me, this discussion was not about $7,000. For me, this discussion was about the staff of this council. Simple as that. Okay, is there any further discussion on 13001?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to, I understand what you've said about your commitment and what you're saying about this is for the staff of this council. And I want it on the record that I, for one, as a council person, have no disregard, disrespect, or ill will towards any of our council staff. I'm just opposed to the manner in which we're going about this.
Well, Councilman Bell, I would look forward at the next finance meeting for you to bring forward another manner that's legal and applicable, because I can't find one other than to ignore it until the next budget.
January, and that's what I'm suggesting. We wait for the.
So it's not a path forward. It's not to address it. It's to ignore it until the next budget.
Totally disagree with you.
That's what it boils down to.
January 22nd, July 1st is within 5 months.
You don't have to explain the budget to me. I'm the one that does the work. I'm the one that submits all the questions. All right? The bottom line is, I've never in my life, and I'm not going to start now, representing for the purpose of getting reelected. Any further questions on 13001 from council? Anything from the public?
I just have a quick comment. My name is Chris Schetzler. I'm the current president of AFSCME Local 1607, and I am one of the employees that has actually had some email correspondence with Councilman Smiley. And I just want to go on record as saying our local does support the staff of the county council getting their give back when it's time. And I also want to say that I work hand in hand in my job with a lot of the staff for County Council. I work a lot with Councilman Sheldon's aide. I used to work a lot with Councilman Weiner's aide in the course of my job. And to me, this is, and to our membership, this goes far beyond money. I mean, we're not looking at $12,000 that this is going to cost over the next 6 months. What we're looking at is our employees, over several contracts, were pulled into a room and told, you're going to give money back or you're getting laid off. And the employees have done it. And I understand that there were some issues with one of the bargaining agreements with the FOP that you mentioned, and I don't want to touch on that because I don't know all the specifics of it. But The issue that we have is that when you presented this legislation, you stated that county council and executive employees are the only people losing 2.5% out of their paychecks. And it's just not accurate.
Full 2.5%. Others are giving, but a direct pay withholding.
Right. When I have to get up at 3:00 in the morning and respond to a house where a car has crashed into the house, and part of my give back was that I lost my call time for getting up at 3:00 in the morning. That's money out of my paycheck. Okay? The staff of county council isn't going out there at 3:00 in the morning. When a sewer person has to go out because a sewer has backed up at 7:00 in the evening and lose time with their family, and part of their give back is their call time and their overtime that they're out on the street and they're losing time with their families. Yeah, they're giving money out of their paycheck. And we're not opposed to people getting their money back. What we're saying is, over the last several contracts, we were told, we were brought into rooms and told, this had to be done. This money had to be given back because the county wasn't going to make it and people were going to get laid off if we didn't. And we were promised time and time again, just get us through this budget cycle and we'll give it back to you. And every time we get through a budget cycle, we get pulled into a room and said, well, economy's not really there yet. You got to get back again, and we've done it. And we're, like I said, we're not opposed to everybody getting their money back. Do it all at the same time. You know, we're all sacrificing. It's not right for one select group to stop sacrificing when everybody has to. And for me personally, should this pass, I want to go on record as stating that I will be sending a letter to the county executive asking for a wage reopener for our contracts early. And if this were to pass, I would expect full support of the council in getting that done.
Well, thank you for coming. Quite honestly, I'm surprised that all four of us haven't done it by now, given all the promises that were made prior. But I appreciate your coming. And let's just be clear, all of council staff partnered and gave as well. The one big difference is they don't have a grievance process. They are completely employment at will, and technically they sign up for it just as when you sign up for your job, and I'm not making light of it, understand, when you sign up for your job knowing you may go out 3 a.m, they sign up for their job knowing they might have 4 years at most for their job. But since you are with 1607, let me make the statement very clearly. I thought they were some very good informational and productive email exchanges. For me, they weren't arguments. They was listed as arguing. I didn't look at it as arguing.
And I appreciate you.
Because trust me, I cannot have an argument without a four-letter word. And I don't mean look or love.
Kenny Dunn, President of Local 4911. Yep. Again, we are in support of the council employees getting their 2.5% back, as long with everybody else. The only everything you said was accurate earlier. You do not have authority over the collective bargaining agreements. We would have to ask for an opener or wait till July 1st to go into negotiations for July 1st. The exception I will take is and my membership is taking exception to the comments that my locals or other employees are not giving back full 2.5%. I can tell you what occurred. As the chief negotiator for my local, we were given a figure, which was 2.5% of the bottom line for the membership of my local. That was salary and benefits line, 2.5%. They said, do what you want with that 2.5%. We chose to take it as a healthcare surcharge. Many reasons why. Your statement of being inaccurate is it's not a full 2.5%, which it is. But the other statement that people with not taking the healthcare from the county is inaccurate. I have members of my local who do not take the health care from Newcastle County, and they are still charged that surcharge.
But let me clarify, if I can, Ken. That was part of your negotiations that you guys took across the board.
That is correct.
And I did state those not under collective bargaining agreement, they weren't part of that process.
Yeah, but the surcharge is applied to everyone within my local that does even not get
within your local.
That's in my local.
As part of your part of the way you bargained your contract.
Earlier you stated that there are employees that don't have the surcharge if they don't have the health care.
And that's true.
That is not accurate.
And yes, it is.
No, there's members of my local.
I'm not talking about your local.
But you said county employees.
Well, I'm sorry, but these people are county, whether you want to admit it or not, council staff or county employees.
For clarification.
And also on the exec side.
For clarification, members of my local that don't get health care from the county because they get it through their spouse's health care or some get it through the military are still getting levied the surcharge.
They're getting levied a surcharge.
Yes, correct.
And I clarified that. Are you in here? I clarified that other than the collective, outside of the collective bargaining
agreement, everyone is giving back the full 2.5%. That's my question.
But everyone is not. You can check with whoever, without getting names. If the collective bargaining agreement said, okay, here's the dollar figure. We got 100 members. We're going to divide it by that 100, and each member is going to be assessed that amount. Then, yeah, they're all given. Those not under collective bargaining agreement, that was not the process. So there are those without.
And you can choose to do as you will with your employees.
Apparently not. Much.
You certainly can.
Yeah, but apparently not. But that's what. And listen, I understand going into the room and being told, here's the money. I mean, years ago, I had an employer say, okay, we're 5 cents apart. Here's the 5 cents, do what you want with it. And for the first 40 hours of any week, they pay health and welfare. For the first 8 hours of every day, they paid health, welfare, and pension, didn't pay for overtime. So the proposal I came back in the room with was for the first 8 hours, that 5 cents went into health and welfare and pension. Anything over 8, it went into the pay, which made it time and a half. So I understand how it works. Ms. Traylor, you have a comment?
Yes, I can't sit here, and I hope I don't make my boss uncomfortable, but I want to say to you, first of all, thank you for speaking up on my behalf. I'm not a part of the union, and I don't think that my sacrifice was any less than anybody else's. I wasn't given the opportunity to say yay or nay whether I wanted the money to be taken out of my check, but I willingly had the money taken out because I would rather another one of my co-workers keep their job than to lose a job. So I just want to say, I don't think that my sacrifice was any less than anybody else's, and that if I get an opportunity to get my money back, I will take it back. I'm struggling just like everybody else. We all having hard times during this financial economic difficulty, but I'm an employee just like everybody else, but I don't get the benefits of having collective bargaining or somebody else speaking up for me, not unless it's Councilman Hollins or someone like you. So I want my money back.
Any other comments from the public?
Mike Zielinski, President of FNP Lodge 5. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversation today about the FNP 5. And I'm in support of everybody getting their money back. That's across the board. And I echo what Mr. Dunn said. It wasn't a choice for us. It was everybody had to get it back. And in fact, there's actually a handful of our employees that have dual husband and wife at the county, and both had to get back 2.5%. So that's 5%. 2010, 5%. 2011, 5%. 2012, 2.5%. 2013, 2.5%. That's 15% over 4 years. So we can, you know, you can spin the words whichever way you want, whichever way you want to go. That's not what it's about. If you're going to do it across the board and make it even for employees across the board. That's all I ask.
Well,
and let me just go on the record. Yeah. There was never any promises made by Mr. Gordon to the FOP. So just get that out of your head, because that's not true.
I said to the FOP, he made a lot of promises to a lot of people out there, and hopefully he'll fulfill them. We don't have the authority for any of the locals to remove the 2.5%. I hear everybody saying it's good for everyone. So what I ask is this. If when you all go in, each individually go into collective bargaining, if you are successful in retroactively receiving any reimbursement for your 2.5%, I'd ask that you negotiate into yours language that you refuse to accept it unless council approves it for their members, their staff. If we're going to do everybody, let's do everybody. So, I appreciate everybody's comments. I'm glad you're coming out again. And as far as spinning, my friend, I don't spin but on the dance floor, and I do that well. Okay. Let's move on the agenda. 13002, amend the grants budget, appropriate federal funding of $344,200 from the U.S. Department of Transportation through the State of Delaware Office of Highway Safety to the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety for the purchase of in-car cameras. Councilman Bell or Councilman Retta?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This $344,200 in federal funding, as you highlight in the title, is coming to our Department of Public Safety, our Police Department, through the U.S. Department of Transportation, and in particular the Delaware Highway Safety Office. I want to begin by commending our police staff and the folks that work on the grants, because we had tabled one ordinance that would have facilitated the acceptance, I believe, of about $285,000. However, because of the holidays and things that had come up, the meeting was never held to actually finalize what the total amount would be. Our police administration went down to the meeting and was very successful in coming out of there with $344,200. It is for the purchase of approximately 75 in-car cameras. I guess at this time I'd like to yield to the Colonel, our acting Colonel, to make comment. I do have one question or concern that I would like to voice, but like to offer the opportunity to our Chief of Police to make any comment that he would on the project itself.
Thank you, Acting Chief Setti, Newcastle County. I'm going to have to defer on most of this. I stepped into it late. This was Scott McLaren's kind of outgoing deal where they had agreed to buy the body cameras. There was some discussion with county law at the time as if to even had there been case law to support us walking into someone's home with a body camera on, and if we could or could not turn it off, because if we could physically have the ability to turn that camera off, there would have to be a lot of question marks in certain cases. Why? And the first one being, why'd you turn that camera off? So I'll leave that to the law department. They vetted that through the AGs and everything else, and we believe that there is going to be case law to support wearing the body cameras, but at the time there was a question mark to it, and I'll defer as to how we ended up with the in-car cameras. Acting Major Jameson, Lieutenant Wendy.
Basically, this we have a non.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Matt Jameson, Acting Major, Administrative Branch, Newcastle County Police. We have a number of in-car cameras already, small number of them in the field that we use. They're useful in obtaining evidence on car stops, DUI investigations, and the like. They can be, they record continuously. The officers don't have the ability to turn them on and turn them off. So, you know, it's very good evidence. And after the concerns the Colonel mentioned from the law department, we decided to pursue a number of additional in-car 75 is what the funding came out to from the Office of Highway Safety. For use in the field, these would be put in patrol cars and used there. Certainly wouldn't outfit the entire marked fleet, but a good percentage of it.
Have we looked into contracts with any of the TV stations to see if we can make a couple bucks? You guys might have to be a little more animated, but, you know, bring in the revenue. Thank you. Any other questions from any members of council? Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will we have this completed by February 28th? It says the completion date is February 28th.
Yes, sir. My understanding is we will.
So this is something we already started, or you feel very confident that we can get it all up and done by 5 weeks?
I'm told that we're going to get it done.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. One thing, again, with our public safety department, our police department in general, that they have been exploring the different technology that all the multiple agencies are using throughout the state, and I believe they've selected a form of technology and a vendor that would provide what they're looking for. So, you know, I guess with that being said is that, you know, the pricing and everything, you've already done a lot of the groundwork to kind of step into processing the purchase order.
We compared several of the products of the different vendors, and we feel that this is the best deal that's out there for the money. This company, you know, checked with other jurisdictions that use this product, and we're satisfied with it.
Any other questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay, next on the agenda. 13-003, amend the grants budget, appropriate $34,250 in special law enforcement assistance funds, SLEEF, from the State of Delaware Department of Justice to the Department of Public Safety for the purchase of PenLink telephone analysis software. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, this is grant money that our County Police Department has acquired through SLEEF, and I would defer to one of the command structure to maybe just touch on what the PenLink telephone analysis software actually is and what it will do for the department. I'm not very well versed in that area.
Well, I won't be able to get into the software part of it, but just to point out, as a former chief of detectives, it's become the most important part of investigating crime now, because these phones are, they're the tattletale boxes on all these people. They're showing who they called, when they called them, what was recorded, the photographic evidence, and I can go into particular cases where the telephone has even kind of told on the victim that wasn't telling the real story. We've seen some really interesting cases closed very quickly and saving lots and lots of county dollars just by taking that phone and signing a warrant for it and analyzing it. As far as how that's done, I'll defer to the subject matter experts.
I'm fine on my questioning, Mr. Chairman.
Well, when it comes to the cell phones and police work, I always have to laugh about the one that was in the newspaper where the pizza person was robbed and they tracked them. They thought they had them and they knocked on the door. They opened the apartment. Pizza box is sitting there, couldn't prove it. But then they dialed the pizza guy's phone and it rang in the sofa. So, the more technology we get, the dumber they get. Any other questions, any members of the council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. 13-004, to provide for the installation of Arlington streetlights in the Windsor Commons at Hyatt's Corner subdivision located in Christiana 100, and for a light tax based on the cost of streetlights, Councilman Bell.
As per title, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions on 13-004? Members of the council, anything from the public? Hearing none. We are now going to go to the proposed FY14 budget recommendation relating to grants and council's contingency fund. Oh, there it is.
At our last meeting, we discussed a number of options in order to fund grants for when we go forward. They currently, all council members have available to them $7,500 at the beginning of each fiscal year to provide grant funding to various nonprofits and other groups that assist in helping compiling and enhance our community. Again, we had discuss three separate options.
I just need to interrupt for one moment based on some things at the last one. At the risk of full disclosure, as I said before, any council member has the right to come in and work on an issue when we presented it. So full disclosure, so you don't beat up on Jim, I did come in and get involved in this as well as co-chair of finance.
Again, currently, each council member gets $7,500. It has been proposed that the amount of grant funds available to each council member increased by $2,500 for FY14. After the listening and discussion last time, the recommendation is that we increase the amount requested for grants and council's proposed FY annual operating budget, the amount of $30,000. Which essentially will give each council member $2,500 additional, which will bring it to the $10,000 level that everyone desired. If the option is adopted, the increase will be reflected in our budget, and in comparison to FY13, which is already at 3.449, it will increase to 4.5. The grants line will increase 30%. As you can see, this is what our original as it is now, which is a 3.5%. It includes 1.7% in salaries, 8.5% in benefits, which we have no control over, and 2.6% in cross charges, which we have no control over. Again, 3.5%. The change is the 30% in fixed charges and grants, which would be $30,000 into our grants line, which would give each council member additional $2,500. Another recommendation for FY13 council budget, $100,000 for a contingency fund. Please make note that back in 2005, when we expanded council, our contingency fund was $300,000. It is recommended for FY14 that council increases the contingency fund the amount of $200,000 to total $300,000. As you can see, this was our FY11, which was $200,000. We used $2,500 on $25,000 for a grant contribution. Last year, we started with $200,000. This was FY12, I'm sorry. The grant went to grant funding. I believe that was for Lieutenant Zerba. $97,500 for the reinstatement of our grants. The republication of the code, salary adjustments, which we discussed last time, CPI adjustments, and a grant contribution for the summer youth, which after everything was done, we had $43,800 left out of the $200,000. Last year, or this year, 2013, okay, we were appropriated $100,000. We reduced our contingency fund last year by $100,000 because of the transfer of the grants. Recently, council approved that I could move money in order to take money out of contingency for severance expense. And we just moved $50,000 for legal expenses. And we have a balance right now of $41,450. Looking forward, other expenses that we may incur because of salary adjustments and so on and so forth, there may be. We have ordinance has been drafted and sent over to finance that will also take $200,000.
Drafted an ordinance, forwarded it to finance. We have it back. It has been forwarded to Ms. Gardner to go through the proper advertising and be placed on for introduction in February to appropriate $200,000 to our FY13 budget for legal expenses.
So essentially, the two recommendations are we increase our grants budget by $30,000, which will give each council member $10,000 each for grants during fiscal year 14, and increase our contingency fund from $100,000 to $300,000. And I may make note. Let's see, I believe in the last minute meeting, Mr. Miller, what you did mention, if there's a change in the budget that I need to make from our original proposal that's already been submitted, I would need some type of answer in order to make the change, probably by about mid-February.
Any discussion on the presentation? Yeah. Councilman Sheldon.
Not the presentation, but Councilman, you drafted an ordinance or a resolution, one or the other, to take
$200,000 to our FY13 budget
this year.
Year for legal expenses,
and that's because of the upcoming.
Yes,
and you foresee that, or why? I don't know how much you can go in this without executive session, I guess. So I just, how do we come up with a number? What was your, you know what I mean?
I said
rationale.
I said $100,000 would probably be enough to cover it. Then I walked into the food store, went to get something to eat, realized I didn't have enough in my pocket, so I figured let's double that and make sure we have enough. Simple as that. If we're allocating, if we don't have to use it.
Granted.
We don't want to have to go back with multiple ordinances so we can pay outside counsel that we've had to retain. I don't want to be, embarrassed because I can't remember the last time that happened to me. But bottom line is, it's just to make sure that counsel has the funds necessary to pay the outside counsel that we voted to retain.
Okay, and that that came from?
Reserves.
Reserve from the count.
Well,
the whole count.
Will, if it passes, go through the process. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It did not come from anyone's grant money or employee pay. Councilman Warner.
I did have my hearing aid up. Half kidding. How much are we adding to contingency?
For FY14, the proposal is an additional $200,000, which would make it $300,000, which is what it was when council initially expanded.
But is there? Are you proposing amendment for this fiscal year? And how much was that for?
And it is a $200,000
in top of the $100,000.
But we don't have $100,000 left.
Okay, but it would be an allocation fully for $300,000
for legal expenses.
Well, actually, for any contingency.
Well, we are actually designating it to legal expenses.
Okay, so $200,000.
Anything related to?
From the general fund allocated from the reserves allocated
to council.
To council. Is it being put in our contingency fund, or is it being allocated specifically for litigation if needed?
To the legal account.
Councilman, I think your question was first question. Your concern was about the original contingency. Okay, the original contingency currently is $100,000. Was approved this year. We've drawn it down to $41,000.
Right.
The proposal is to increase that $100,000 to $300,000. So he's correct. it's $200,000.
For FY.
That was your question for FY14.
Right.
The other issue was an ordinance to basically take $200,000 from the reserves and move it into our attorney's fees. Okay. If we do not use the full $200,000 at the end of the year, it goes back to the general fund.
To reserve.
How much is in our attorney's fees line now?
Currently, I transferred $50,000 into the attorney's fees.
And that was transferred from our $100,000 contingency. So now there's a total of $250,000 been allocated for attorney's fees during this fiscal year.
Only if
tentatively.
If
allocated. If it gets approved, signed, sent over.
Oh, right. Yes. If approved,
yes.
It's been proposed that we allocate a total of $250,000
yes.
for attorney's fees during this fiscal year.
Yes. $50,000 has already been allocated.
Yes.
$200,000 will be allocated if
approved.
If that ordinance is
for a total of $250,000.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Councilman Hollins and Councilman Street.
If I'm hearing this correctly, then that means that all of our contingency would be dedicated to legal fees?
No, there's still 41.
There's 41,000 left now, and the money that we're moving over from reserves, I had thought was going to replenish the $50,000 that we've already allocated for legal fees to the contingency fund.
We're putting it to legal. There's nothing that says if we don't need to move funds, we can't do a change order. Right now,
right. My only point is, if you put all of the money into the legal fees account, that leaves no real contingency. I just don't think that's very smart.
Well,
I think we can always need a contingency for salary adjustments and other things and people leaving.
And I, quite honestly, I talked to Jim. I mean, I had him pull an old ordinance, and I reworked the old ordinance to try to not take up council's staff time with it. And bottom line is, we think the 41 will see us through on that. I'll be very honest with you. I wasn't comfortable putting, to be quite blunt about it, and I said this to Jim, and it's a wonder his head's still attached. He shook his head so much at me. I wasn't comfortable putting $200,000 in contingency. Us using $100,000, reaching the end of the budget cycle, say, okay, because we got to find that money somewhere when it's in contingency. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, we got $100,000 left. Let's give $40,000 here, give $40,000 there, give $20,000 there. When the intent is to cover ourselves for the legal expenses. But if we fall short, we can do a change order. Councilman Street, then Kilpatrick, and then Cordy.
We've been involved officially in the litigation for a week. We've already got allocated $50,000. I trust that you realize the message that you're sending. The message you're sending by proposing an additional $200,000 proposes the trial's not going to be over. We're going to spend more than $50,000, and that we're going to be at odds with the administration over a long period of time. And it's already predetermined.
I anticipate, and I'm not an attorney, that depending on how it goes down, there could be an appeal and we could be tied into that. But as far as us sending the message, we got the email, we're willing to help you get outside counsel. Okay, we accept the offer. Here's who we want. We know who you want. We're not paying for it. Our responsibility is we got to pay for who we asked specifically if anyone came back with pro bono.
What troubles me, George? Okay, we're having $250,000 discussion about Barley Mill, and it seems like it's an endless discussion. But we only have $100,000 to help folks stop sleeping on the street. We got folks sleeping on the street all over the county. Not just in my district, not just in the city, but in everybody's district at this point. And at some point, the division needs to stop. And I really don't want to spend a whole lot of taxpayer money on lawyers that should be spent on the people that we represent. And
I agree.
duty bound and obligated to care for and make a difference in their lives. And for the folks that put most of us in office, whatever happens at Barley Mill, they're not going to benefit from one iota.
For the record, I'm not discussing Barley Mill. I'm just discussing making sure we have funds in the legal fund.
I beg to differ. It's a $250,000 discussion right now on this side of the aisle about Barley Mill. That's what this is.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Okay, this was not going to be my first statement, but it will now, that this lawsuit is, again, not about Barley Mill. This lawsuit is about the process. And the process is sacred when it comes to property, property rights and constitution. So we're going forward with this. We're being represented the best that we can because we need to have a very solid answer that our department has or has not looked at the law and determined that it is what it is or that it's not something different. So this could happen and will happen on any other development. It's not the development that is in question here. It is the process. But that aside, I want to go back to what Councilman Hollins talked about bringing. We've allocated, if I'm correct, we've allocated $50,000 from our contingency to legal. So we've changed a line internally. We're now bringing in more money from the reserves. Should we not be reimbursing our contingency, the first $50,000, and then saying we have the $150,000 left that goes into the legal fund? Or are we ever going to get back the $50,000 that we moved? Well, is that the first spent or the last spent, I guess, is how it...
At the end of the day, if it's needed in contingency, we have the ability to transfer. I would ask, in case anybody noticed, we're already past schedule for the next meeting. That doesn't mean I don't consider this an important discussion. But that ordinance is yet to even be presented.
Okay.
So I would ask we defer the discussion till it gets presented and is properly noticed on the finance agenda, at which time, if I'm lucky, Councilman Cartier will maybe be chair. Councilman Cartier and Hollins.
He's flipping committees.
Just very briefly, council was left no choice in this matter. The administration decided to pursue a different legal course regarding the suit that we're talking about. We have to hire a defense. We have no choice. And it is about, our voting on rezonings and whether they are in fact legal or not, or procedurally correct or not. It's a very important question, not denigrating the importance of, people being homeless in the street at all. But in this regard, it's a matter of very serious consequences to land use process in Newcastle County and council's votes, and we must be properly defended. And we've hired a major firm, and I expect it to be costly. And it's a sad case, but that's what I'm expecting. So we need to transfer $200,000 to properly defend our process as far as rezoning, and that's what we got to do.
Again, that's another discussion, Councilor Hollins.
Yeah, I'm similar to where Councilman Cartier is. The fact of the matter, all of this is taxpayers' money. It's the county's money. Whether it comes from contingency, reserves, the law department, public safety, or wherever, it's still all the county's money. Yes, employees. But the fact of the matter is, we have a job that can be contentious, and we should deserve to be protected. So you can't go into court when you're sued without having protection. This gives me greater assurance that we're going to have that protection that we deserve. So you can't be thinking about this. We don't have time for council to meet, FOIA requests and all this stuff, to try to have a meeting of 13 members of council to make a decision when you're being sued. So the fact that it's in a contingency, no different than this time right now that we're in right now, the $50,000 was moved from contingency. Thank God we had $50,000 in contingency, because this would be the first meeting. So whatever it costs, it's still the county's money. We're county employees. We get sued. Most county employees don't. And when that happens, we deserve to be protected.
Okay. Councilwoman Dillon.
I'm just trying to get Jim Boyle, who was waving his hand, to say something.
I just wanted to clear up a little bit of the process. Money is not, goods and services are not paid out of contingency. Okay, we have a contingency fund. I have to transfer that money as you approve over into an operating budget, and it comes out of the lines of the operating budget. Now, again, we're moving $200,000 into attorney's fees. for lack of terminology, that's a, what we refer to as a parking space. I used it for a number of different items here where we put the money in a parking space. Now, that doesn't mean that, and one of the questions was, can we replenish that money if we need something else? I can move that money from attorney's fees into another line. There was no intention of giving, I don't think so, and I'd have, you know, I had some discussions with counsel to counsel. I don't think the intention was to give a law firm a $250,000 PO. I think the intention was to give, you know, we're going to bring in, let's say $50,000, there will be a $50,000 PO. We'll draw down that PO. If there's other needs from that law firm, we have the money so in order to pay for it. I think as it was said before, the system is placed to protect us, and we're just trying to put that system into place.
Councilman Street.
To the extent that it's now whatever the name litigants are, it's also now counsel versus Gordon. And so it's $250,000 that we allocate, and I bet you they'll allocate another $250,000. Now we're at $500,000, and we keep on driving this train down the road. At some point in time, common sense has to prevail. And the spending is spiraling out of control.
Again, I agree. I don't want to spend any money. I'm just going to clarify again. We'll discuss the 200 when it comes. The purpose of it is to have funds in our legal account. They're not being, the ordinance does not specify them for a specific suit of any kind. Councilman Hollins, and then I'd like to move.
Thank you. I just want to make clear that county council isn't suing anybody. Yeah. We are defendants currently in a lawsuit. We are defending ourselves. We haven't brought suit against anyone. We are defendants, and that's the only position we have in the current legal situation.
Okay. Now, I'd like to try to get us past this and move forward as chair, co-chair, quarter chair, whatever part of chair I am. Mr. Boyle needs to submit another budget proposal to the finance department. I'm going to split this into two motions because I have differing opinions and others may have as well. So I would like to make a motion that council approve the adjustment to the FY14 council budget submission to increase a contingency request from $100,000 to $300,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Those not voting? Okay. I would like to make a motion, and I'm making the motion merely as the chair, that council approve to Boyle in the next FY14 budget submission to increase the line to provide for grant funding for each council member in the amount of $10,000 each for a total of $130,000. Well, it'll increase 20. They're getting 75 now.
I thought I said total.
That to increase the grant line so that each council member would have access to a total grant account of $10,000 for a total of $130,000 in that line. Is there a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Nay. Those not voting? Now, Mr. Weiner, I would ask for your indulgence. Could we possibly table the next item to the next meeting? Would you mind?
What is it?
That's the discussion and vote to submit requests for funds for the county's technology account to cover the cost to upgrade the 8th floor conference room video equipment.
Certainly.
Would you mind?
Sure. And let's for a deference sake, Councilwoman Diller.
You agree?
Yes.
Okay, so that'll go on the next finance agenda.
Thank you very much for your indulgence. Ironically, next on the agenda is grants. And on the agenda, we have Rose Gate Civic Association, amount requested $1,000 for the purpose of community activities. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this grant will give $1,000 to our Rose Gate Civic Association to help them continue the process with their efforts to clean that community up. So the motion for $1,000.
There's a motion for $1,000. There's a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, not voting. Anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything under other? Any public comment? Councilwoman Dillon.
Before we adjourn, let's come back at 3:25 to do community service for community services.
Okay. We will be back.
Give you enough time to...
Can I get an adjournment?
Yes.
Motion adjourned.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All is opposed? All is not voting?
We'll have a brief. This should be.
No, it won't.